school football, girls soccer, a number of other sports somewhat in danger in the state of Tennessee right now. We'll talk about it today. It's the starting lineup, 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Live, local, and on your radio from the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Media Knoxville. This show belongs to you at 656-9900. 656-9900. The sports you need before sunrise is on the air. You're inside the starting lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Will West, Eric Kane here with you, is the starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal. We got a lot to get to today. Eric Kane tried to warn us yesterday. I am a Pollyanna, so I did not listen to him, but it looks like there may be some, at least a delay at best, to the college, to the high school football season in the state of Tennessee. The governor's extended the state of emergency through August 29th. Now, in the original order that we got, when you look at the list of things that the state of emergency extends and that it applies to, one of the things that was mentioned in the original order that we saw was that you're going to see that was limiting contact sport practices or practices where people will be in close contact with one another, limiting contact sport activities and activities of sorts where you'd be in contact with one another. It did not say to end. It did not say to postpone. It did not say anything of that nature. Just said to limit those things. I looked at that and just thought, big nothing burger. It was also a guidance with the way that it was phrased in the state of emergency extension. It didn't say that this was a commandment kind of that was going to have to be followed or or an order straight up from the governor. It just said to limit those things. I thought it was nothing. Thought it was absolutely just no big deal. It'll be fine. Limit those things. That means, hey, you're not going to have football practice. Isn't going to happen until we get into mid-July. That's kind of what I thought it was going to mean. And you'll have fewer contact practices, or at least they're advising that you have fewer contact practices. Goodness, that is not the case. Eric Kane, how are you, sir? You were right. I was wrong. My gosh, that was that came fast yesterday, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. And you heard the chatter kind of from Monday night. When you see people like Jesse Smithy, Mark Packer, Tom Krieger, you know, a lot of people that cover high school football across East Tennessee and the state kind of say, hey, this is alarming. This is something to where high school football could actually not start on time. You could see a different type of season. Maybe it could be in the spring. And all that chatter started going on Monday night. It sort of kind of hit real a little bit, because if you go back and read Governor Lee's extension, it clearly states, you know, there's a little section in there that you kind of pointed out, the where, you know, no contact or limited contact, you know, practicing.
It says limit activities that would require to this. And it even says that it's a guidance, right? So that's why I looked at it and said, eh. And man, that is not the case. But apparently he had already sent a letter to the TSSAA as well about this, though, that was involved with it. We just didn't find out until yesterday, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, in talking with some coaches around in the area, I said, okay, so like the Michael Scott gif, you know, explain this to me like I'm five. And they said, essentially, we can't do any more than what we're doing right now through the end of August. Well, that's alarming, because high school football season kicks off August the 21st here in East Tennessee. And so everyone's starting to freak out a little bit. And then you're finding more and more information as yesterday goes on. And now there's going to be a Board of Control meeting that was already scheduled in Nashville here this morning at 10 a.m. But obviously, what was supposed to be talked about, the topic was going to be realignment of the divisions. I think that this will take precedent over the already scheduled topic of that meeting.
So what does this mean in your mind? Like, what are you hearing that this could mean? Because clearly you're more tied into it than I am.
So essentially, the coaches are going to be, you know, presenting to the Board of Control three different scenarios for a season in 2020, where it'd be, you know, starting somewhere around September 25th, playing eight games, which would mostly be conference, and then a four-week playoff, trying to get done the week before Christmas altogether. There was another scenario tossed out there earlier yesterday that I don't think has much weight anymore, to where it would be a 10-game regular season like normal, and then kind of a bowl game, but I think that's kind of on the back burner now. You're looking at an eight-game, four-playoff game schedule, or you're looking at flipping spring and fall sports, or having fall or having football start in February. And so I think those are the three different scenarios the coaches will be talking about later today.
So I read into seeing that from the governor's office two things. One, that that the governor thinks we're about to get crushed by COVID. Am I off with that? I mean, I know it's spiking in the state of Tennessee to some extent. Yesterday, Governor Phil Murphy, I've said it before, my brother lives in Jersey, so I was thinking about the next furlough week going up and seeing him. But right now, Tennessee is one of 14 states that in the state of New Jersey, if you come to the state of New Jersey from those states, you have to have a 14-day mandatory quarantine before you're able to go out. So I'll not be driving up there to see the Aaron later on this year. We are already seeing a spike. But I read into this two things. One, man, the governor expects that this is going to get worse before it gets better. Two, I thought, well, that means school's going to have to be virtual, because if you can't have girls out there playing soccer, running up and down the field outdoors, where we don't think that it's as easy to pass COVID-19, coronavirus, there's no way in the world you're going to put 30 kids inside of a classroom, a foot and a half from each other, inside of a classroom, right? Well, then yesterday we get the guidance from Knox County Schools saying, hey, our expectations, we're going to start on school in person. And if you want to have a virtual school option, you can have a virtual school option if that's the way that you want to go with. And I'm thinking, well, all right, so you can't have 11-on-11 out there on a football field or a soccer field, but you can have 30 kids inside of one room indoors, a foot and a half from each other. So I honestly, here's the thing, I honestly think not a lot of people are on the same page. I honestly think none of us know, none of the administrators know, no one in political power knows what this is going to look like moving forward. And so right now it just seems like Governor Bill Lee being cautious. I think that Knox County Schools is trying to go with a plan of, we're going to try to get this, we're going to try to go ahead and at least try to open this up with kids coming into classes. I know the pediatricians have been pushing for kids to be in school just because of what it could mean to, social development, and also for those kids that are in abusive situations or don't have food and things like that, that school gives them that break from this. So, I honestly, I got to be honest with you, Kaner. I don't even know. I almost feel like we're back in March right now, where I just keep saying, oh, dude, they're not going to cancel the Olympics. Oh, man, they're not going to cancel March Madness. Man, they're not going to cancel the NBA season. They didn't wake up hating money today. And then, of course, baseball's going to be played on time. I almost feel like we're back in March right now, where we're looking at this and it's, I'm not saying that they're going to shut all businesses down or anything like that, but almost everything is on the table again, it seems like, at least in the Southeast.
Well, in terms of sports, we always said what's that panic meter? What's that panic meter? If we don't know something by this date, when are you going to start panicking? A lot of that, most of those dates for us answering those questions were somewhere around July the 1st.
Yeah.
Here we are. It is July the 1st. High school football is a month and a half away, or what it was supposed to be. College football is officially 2 months away. The NFL is, right around that time as well. And so, again, for football at least, you have to have that acclimation period to where these guys are starting somewhere around a month before. And so, time is ticking to where if you're going to have a season, if you're going to be starting on time, those plans have to be almost finalized right now. And so that I think that's when you're kind of seeing, the urgency and things kind of happening right now, because here we are, it is July the 1st.
Well, and here's the thing, you got to have a plan in place. I do understand, I guess, from a school standpoint, it's easier to scale back than it is to try to kind of scale up a little bit. So if you are running a school system, the best thing to do is kind of prepare to have to do a virtual option, plan to have the kids in place and the kids inside the building. But I guess I could understand that, because you can always scale that back and say, no, we are going to have to do virtual training if this thing ends up going bad. So I think that's the smart way to do it. Philip Fulmer talked earlier in the week, and maybe it's the end of last week, and he said, yeah, we're planning on having every fan, 102,000 plus inside the stadium. Every fan is going to be there, because it's easier for us to scale back than for us to plan to have 50% capacity and then say, okay, look, now we've got herd immunities happen or something like that, then, and now we can have 102,000, and now we've got to create more infrastructure. So it's the wise move to go ahead and plan as if everything's going to be on time and things like that. It's just, I gotta be honest, it's wild to me the idea that you can't put 11 girls out there playing soccer against each other on a field somewhere, but you can put 30 kids inside of a classroom and thousands of kids inside of hallways, on top of each other over and over again indoors, where I think, you know, the thought is that maybe the spread's a little tough, a little easier than it is when it's outdoors. That's weird to me, but I don't do this for a living. These other people do, and we'll see what happens. Look, it's also this. Like, I understand the governor's point of view. If you're the governor of the state of Tennessee, if you're the superintendent of schools, any type of outbreak that happens that leads to the death of kids in your area, that's blood on your hands, dude. So I get being cautious. Like, I completely understand being cautious. I did not see this coming. I didn't think that I didn't read that limiting contact sports and practices where you'd be in close contact with one another would mean we're going to either push the season back to what, August 1st is what I saw Packer kind of throwing out there. If you go with the eight game schedule, maybe October 1st.
Yeah, it's September 25th, October 1st, kind of that last week around in there in that time period. So again, you know, interview just real quick, the three options, and Packer did tweet this out about 10 o'clock last night. Mark Packer, WVLT, Rivalry Thursday. The Tennessee Football Coaches Association gave coaches in Tennessee three options of what to recommend to the Board of Control for Wednesday's meeting. Again, Wednesday, today, 10 a.m. Here are the percentages of vote received. Eight-game regular season, four-game playoffs came in at 60%, so that looks like it's a leader in the clubhouse heading into today. Switch fall and spring sports came in at 20%, and spring football came in at 20% as well. And then, again, under this ruling for Governor Bill Lee, this, you know, hinges on football and girls soccer, whereas the memo sent out yesterday did not include golf, did not include volleyball, and did not include cross country. So it looks like those fall sports will still be okay for right now.
Yeah, so if those are the options that are on the table, yeah, I mean, it is what it is right now. Am I wrong to read into this that the governor thinks that we're about to see and maybe an even bigger spike of COVID cases in the state of Tennessee?
No, I mean, I think that's kind of accurate when you're looking at what's going on right now.
Yeah.
So in terms of what's happening with Governor Bill Lee in this state of emergency, under that eight-game, four-game playoff, essentially if you ran the table and went all the way to the state championship, you'd be missing out on three games, two in the regular season and one round of the playoff, and they took out that first round of the playoff in this scenario because you don't make a whole lot of money in that first round. The TSSAA doesn't.
Yeah, they don't, that's true. The school usually runs that one, right? It's not the TSSAA.
I believe
it's
so.
Always, when you're there calling a game, it's always so much more difficult on the TSSAA one because they don't know everybody locally. So when you walk in and try to go call a game, it's a pain in the backside.
Yeah.
So once you get to those other rounds of the playoffs, it's a little, you know, the unfortunate part is the school's kind of no longer in control of what happens when people walk in and who walks in and who gets press passes and how you go through the press entrance and pass gates and things like that.
And they don't get a lot of that money. All that money goes to the TSSAA.
Here's the thing. The one thing I don't want to see happen is I hope they don't flip fall and spring sports unless they're really actually going to play these sports.
Man, I think that'd be so highly unlikely. But again, it is an option on the table right now.
So we these kids lost baseball season last year already, right? Like, yeah. So these spring sports kids already lost their season. So what you don't want to see happen is they lose their season last year. We flip spring and fall sports, and then there's like, because it's less revenue that they're getting. There to be a larger outbreak. We're not able to have kids in classes, and so for them to lose their season 2 years in a row, man, that'd be tough. It's just I know there's no revenue to it, but that would be absolutely unfair to those young people. And somebody's got to do the right thing. But thankfully, like you're saying, it looks like that's not the way that it's going to go. That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. We'll come back. Starting lineup 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
All right, so in review, high school football in Tennessee will not start on time this season. TSSAA Executive Director Bernard Childress confirmed Tuesday afternoon. This comes following Tennessee Governor Bill Lee's extension of the state of emergency Monday that goes through August 29th. High school girls soccer will also not start on time, whereas there was no mention of volleyball, golf, cross country, or other non-contact fall sports in the memo sent out to member schools. The Tennessee Football Coaches Association is holding an already scheduled meeting with the Board of Control today at 10 a.m. For the first time in 64 years, there will be no minor league baseball played in East Tennessee, as affiliated ball in minor leagues has officially been canceled for 2020. That means no Tennessee Smokies, Chattanooga Lookouts, or Appalachian League baseball this summer. Previously, Baseball America reported minor leaguers who were left off the Major League Baseball affiliate 60-man player pool for the season are free to go and play independent ball this summer. And around the NBA, three New Orleans Pelicans players have tested positive for coronavirus. Players' names were not mentioned, but all three have been in isolation. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education in Tennessee. 6:16, get a check of the roads with Pete Michaels Traffic. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
Never open a Snapchat from him when you're around loved ones. Will West and a starting lineup on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
It is the starting lineup, 99.1 The Sports Animal. Will West, Eric Kane here with you. 656-9900 if you want to get on board. From college or high school sports being pushed a little bit to Knox County schools. It does look like Knox County schools is going to start on time. Superintendent Bob Thomas with a letter yesterday. They saw on social media, sent a call and a text message out to parents. It looks like they're attempting to do in-person class with here in Knox County. I got to be honest, it makes sense in Knox County. It does. Our cases are so much lower. Like, our total cases are lower than the state's new cases yesterday. I think we're in the 900s, which is still not what you want to see. But, I mean, compared to yesterday, the state of Tennessee had about 1,200 new cases all around. So, still 5 deaths, which is sad. It's still much lower than most areas in our most numbers in our area. And when you're looking at, not to just put a number on somebody's life, but when you're looking at it, something like what Knox County Schools has to look at, what the Knox County Health Department has to look at, you do have to look at those numbers like that and say, okay, what is the risk versus what might a child be losing by not being able to go to school? Because a lot of kids in our area, that's where they're going to get to eat, right? And that's where they're going to get to kind of get a break from if they get a tough home life or something like that, right?
Yeah, and I mean, yesterday's COVID-19 update from Glenn Jacobs, the numbers – a really, really good day. Down 31 active cases, up 46 overall recoveries, 927 positive tests overall, as you pointed out, 14 currently in the hospital. That's down 1 from Monday, and again, still no deaths since March the 5th.
Yeah, so, I mean, which is just, it's incredible. I mean, the one thing that I look at with this is, I mean, so around the country, when you talk about cases that have been recoveries and to deaths, you're looking at about 10% of people who have had this who have died. And it's terrible, right? But if you look at the total number of cases, including current active cases, it's about 5%. We're at about 0.5% of people. That's the mortality rate here in Knox County, which is, I mean, it's, I tell you what, well, one, it's just something about the job that the people have done in the medical community here in East Tennessee. Two, it says something about the job that people in East Tennessee have done trying to maintain social distancing and wearing the mask and not walking up, dapping it up with everybody and things like that and acting like everything's just normal, even though the numbers have been low here. A lot of times, I'm not trying to be rude to anybody, but a lot of times you could tell how smart somebody is based on how they look at things and say, well, did it happen to me or anybody I know? Well, it's not real. I'm going to say this in a way that's kind of mean. That's the stupid test, right? If people look at something and say, well, it didn't happen to anybody I know, so it's not a real thing, and I'm just going to go out and do whatever I want to, that's how you tell if somebody's dumb or not. And so people in Knox County, for the most part, it hasn't happened. So, I mean, people have been responsible here. And so that's still a very good thing. I mean, you go to the store, go to the hardware store last week. Still social distancing, still people wearing masks. You go some places people aren't, but the social distancing's there. You don't see people out dapping it up, even at church and things like that. You don't see people out dapping it up. So it's people have been responsible here. And so I think that's one of the reasons why these numbers, that and the grace of God, the reason the numbers are where they're at. So to me, Eric, I understand why Bob Thomas, the superintendent of schools, Knox County School Board, would look at this and say, I mean, the cases aren't bad. We're going to prepare as if we're going to be able to have kids inside the buildings there. It's just weird when you look at that, but you also say, but we can't get 22 girls out there playing soccer at the same time, right? Yeah. That's the thing that I look at. I'm just like, well, that's a big juxtaposition. The one that we have to think about is that Bill Lee has to govern for the whole state, not just Knox County. And so while we have been incredibly blessed with the way that and protected with the way that things have gone, right now you're seeing in Memphis, you're seeing in Nashville, you're seeing in Chattanooga, a completely different story.
Yeah. And like something that I think about too, is there's only 11, you know, guys out there playing football at a time, 11 on 11. So 22, the number right now is kind of 50, limiting that to no more than 50 players in terms of this phase or whatnot under this emergency order. But that doesn't take into account the sideline on the football field. You know that they're, you know, packed in there, you know, shoulder pad to shoulder pad. also for girls soccer, you know, it's so spread out and everything, but, you know, when you're defending, you're kind of in close contact range, but still that kind of falls under the threshold of 50. Now, if you look at it in a school system, I mean, what is it, you know, 30 kids tops in a classroom, and that's at the big schools. But then again, you know, during class change, going in the hallway, there's a lot more than 50. At Jeff County High School, boy, it was a lot more than 50 in the hallway at one time during class change. So that's kind of puzzling to me as well. But to my understanding, there's going to be a virtual option if you don't feel comfortable going into classes in person.
Well, and also this, if they prepare to have kids there in the school and they have everything in order and then they have to scale back. Again, it's like what Philip Fulmer said about having fans at Neyland Stadium. If you go ahead and just prepare to have everybody there, it's easier to scale it back than it is to say, oh, no, we don't have the infrastructure in place. And, I mean, we're still 2 months away, and think about how much this has changed in just 2 months. At the beginning of May, we thought that, well, it's that, you know, this is going to be, we can start to open things back up, and maybe things, everything will be okay. At the 2 months before that, at the beginning of March, we were looking, people thought, well, a couple hundred people might die across the United States. This is no big deal. We've done a good, we've stopped, we've had travel bans in place. It's going to be fine. And we didn't know how that it had gotten here months earlier, maybe even as half a year earlier right now. So it's, we don't know how much can change in 2 months, right? And I guess when you're talking about schools, a month and, you know, 5 weeks, but a lot can change in 5 weeks. So, I mean, I remember having a conversation with people about, hey, how's it going with sports reopening that aren't big sports fans? And I was just like, well, the leagues that have been bullish about opening up have been the ones that have been rewarded with this. We still haven't seen those leagues have big spikes in numbers or anything like that. But now you're looking at it saying, okay, the NBA was pushing it. It took them 2 months to figure out, and him and Hahn, to figure out how they're going to do a bubble in Orlando and to get everybody to agree to this and get things started again. And now Orlando is one of the hot spots in the United States. I mean, I think I read that Florida has more cases than Italy ever did when Italy was the epicenter for the coronavirus, and they had to shut the entire country down. That's where Florida is right now. So then we're going to put the NBA bubble there. So it's just kind of wild to me the way that this has gone and how quickly it's moved and shifted. And the biggest key I think that you would take away from it is we don't know. So right now you plan probably with things that you don't have to have that are non-essential. And as much as we love sports, football, soccer, it's non-essential. And so for right now you can plan to do, you know, to try to either push back the start date or shorten the season or some, you know, some combination of both. But school is something that's essential. So especially in Knotts County, where we don't have that many cases right now, not close to the amount of cases that they've had in the rest of the counties in Tennessee, you do go ahead and plan just to have kids that are going to be in the classroom. 656-9900 is your phone number. Will West, Eric Kane. We'll be back with you on the other side. It is the birthday of two great movie sidekicks. We'll tell you about who that is. Also, top sports sidekicks of all time. It's the starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is VFL Josh Malone, and we're counting it down. It is just
66 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
Oh, make me over. I'm all I want to be. Oh, I can start.
Will West, Eric Kane. Starting lineup 99.1, the Sports Animal, about 6:31 this morning. Looks like we're going to have thunderstorms most of the afternoon. Highs in the high 70s, maybe low 80s around East Tennessee. Today, Jacob's held patiently through the break, and we appreciate that. Jacob, welcome into the starting lineup. How are you? Jason, I'm sorry, Jason. How are you, man?
Oh, hey, okay. Well, first of all, I want to say I think kid safety is at the most important and through all this COVID stuff. But you were talking earlier, and I've just been seeing it too, and my kid plays soccer. And what's frustrating is that you're seeing all these softball and baseball tournaments, and then I saw what – and I get it, that's not a super contact sport, but they are in dugouts together. And then I saw – AAU basketball being played in like the counties just right outside of us, Louisville, Lenore City, which is, I mean, to me, that's more frustrating to see that going on. And then my kid can't even practice, you know what I mean? Like they can't do anything as far as their sport. So, you mentioned, I hate it for the girls a lot of the girls that play soccer around here, and some of the and most of the football players, you know. So it's a terrible thing.
Yeah.
But I don't what I can't figure out is why basketball is being able to be played and girls can't get out on a soccer field and play, or boys, you know. Well, it's not boys soccer season right now, but it is for clubs, that they can't even get out and play, you know.
Yeah, is your girl, is she in high school?
No, she just plays club soccer, and and they dropped restrictions on that as well, and it's just sitting back and watch everything going on, and all these, you know, you scan Facebook and it's softball tournament here, baseball tournament there, softball tournament here, AAU basketball here, and soccer, nope.
There's one of the soccer club leagues that's governed by the TSSAA, right? Is it, if memory serves, I want to say our buddy Himmel from Benchmark Physical Therapy was telling me about that, because he's in an adult league, adult club team that entire club area is kind of sanctioned by the TSSAA. So I think the difference is whether it's sanctioned by the state or not is when they're going to do it. But my niece plays for Powell, and my nephew, she can't play soccer right now, but my nephew can go to his baseball tournaments in the same family, right? So I guess the idea is, I'm trying to look at it this way, like, because I hate it for them and you hurt for them that they're going to miss at least a portion of their season, Jason. I guess for Bill Lee, he's having to govern Knox County the same way he's going to govern Davidson County or Shelby County, right, in Hamilton County, where they are seeing a spike in this. And so you hate it for the kids that that's the case, but it is – thank you for the phone call, Jason. It is wildly inconsistent that we're seeing that you can't have baseball and softball tournaments that are out there that are private, but anything to do, you know, sanctioned groups by the TSSAA aren't going to be able to go play in sports that some of them, quite frankly, you would think would be less likely based on some of the research out of the Northwestern and Penn State. It would be less likely if you're outside playing soccer to get this than being inside of a building playing an AAU basketball tournament. If sunlight really is something that can keep the COVID-19 at bay, at least, or diminish the amount of time that on surfaces and on skin that you could pass the transmission of the virus. If their research is correct from both of those two universities, why are you able to play basketball indoors, but you can't go play soccer outside? Can't go play football outside? That is something that I look at. I kind of don't understand. But again, I think the way that they're looking at this is, if they don't do something, and then we have an outbreak amongst kids that are playing football together or amongst kids that are playing soccer together, then that blood's on their hands if something, God forbid, happens. So I understand where they're coming from. I hate it for the kids, though. I mean, your heart breaks for these kids that have had to miss things. Like, especially, like, for the kids that played football, you already missed spring practice, right? I'm going to be honest, nobody likes spring practice. So, but you hate to see them miss part of their season. You don't want to see the baseball, softball kids that are playing at the high school level get moved to the spring, and then we see an outbreak of this, or move from the spring to the fall, and we see an outbreak of this, and they don't get their season this year, because that would mean they'd miss two seasons. But a lot of those kids that do play like soccer, they've already lost their club season this year because of COVID-19, and now you're looking at having to get a diminished or at least maybe even postponed season this fall. You hate to see that. It kind of go down that way, man.
You know, last week, before all this, you know, the state of emergency extension was extended out through the end of August and all that, Mark Packer was put out a video on pilotbrosports.com saying, when he spoke with TSSAA's Matthew Gillespie, on whether, you know, parts of East Tennessee could be having high school football, whereas, you know, Knox County could be playing high school football, but if you had a game scheduled against, you know, a team from Shelby County or a team from Nashville or whatever, like a lot of these programs around here do, these out-of-conference games, maybe that could be canceled or something, but you could still play, you know, inside your own region or inside your own district. And that was kind of a possibility being talked about last week. Of course, now it's all, you know, gone and we're on to this, but, you know, that was a situation that was being talked about, to where you could be playing high school sports here in this part of the state, but maybe not over here, just in order to get it in for these kids.
Yeah, so the thing that I... Well, I mean, the one thing we got to remember is that they do have to govern for the whole state. It's the right move to extend the state of emergency. It is. I mean, there's just I don't even think that there's an argument that it isn't the right move. One of the big things that extending a state of emergency does is keeps price gouging from happening, because right now manufacturers of toilet paper could say $45 for a 4-pack of toilet paper, and we just have to pay it because it's supply and demand. And the stores would have to pay it, then have to pass that along to us. It's not like they can go sell that for $6 like they normally do when they're having to pay $45 for it. It ain't a charity. So it's good to have the state of emergency extended. I understand, I mean, I guess. Now, again, the one big thing I will read into that is that the governor's office expects us to really take a hit when it comes to COVID in the next few weeks, maybe the next few months. What does that mean? I don't know. But I do think there's a reason why you're seeing people like Coach Fulmer, who usually doesn't get involved in these kind of things, saying, hey, wear the mask if you want to have Tennessee football this fall. There's a reason why you're seeing Mitch McConnell yesterday, who has not been somebody who gets involved in this kind of thing, say, wear a mask. Because I do think there's a concern that in the Southeast and in the state of Tennessee that we're about to see a spike. And I don't know that we're going to be a Florida-Texas-level epicenter of COVID-19, but it does look like things are trending in that direction. But the grace of God, we've not had to deal with that in East Tennessee proper for the most part. I mean, the numbers have still been incredibly low compared to even where Chattanooga's been right now. So we do have at least that going for us. And I understand the point of view with Knox County Schools of saying, hey, we're going to try to do in-person classroom because it is better for kids to do the in-person classes and things like that. And you could always scale it back if we get a month and a half out and it doesn't look like that's something that you can do. But you hate it for the kids. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what this is about. It's about the kids. It's about them, you know, having to miss a portion of their season when a lot of them already missed, you know, spring practice for football. They missed the spring sessions, the spring club teams for soccer. You hate that for them. And it is frustrating, as Jason said, to say, okay, there's a, you know, in one family, you could have a girl soccer player who can't go play right now, but the brother can go play in a baseball tournament, and they can have, you know, 45 teams from 8 states, and they can all be up in Pigeon Forge in a baseball tournament right now. But that's just kind of the way of the world, because there's a difference between what privately can happen and what the state is capable of sponsoring. And as important as we look at sports as, sports aren't as important as education, right? I mean, it is something that that is not essential. It kind of is what it is for right now. Are you expecting a decision today, Kaner, as far as them to come down from the people you've spoken to? Is the expectation that we know what the season looks like today, or will this just kind of be a preliminary vote and then a decision will be made later on?
You know, to answer that question, I'm not really sure. I know that there's obviously that meeting that's going to be held later this morning with these proposals. I think that you'll leave the meeting with kind of a general idea of what's, you know, kind of a plan that will be taking place. Now, I don't know if that'll be a final verdict, but I think by this week, probably by today, you'll have an idea of what a high school football season, a women's soccer, a girls' soccer season will look like in the fall. It just might not, you know, be set in stone, pen to paper. And I think that's kind of the hope for what today's meeting at 10 o'clock is going to be.
Yeah, at least they're getting down in front of it. I appreciate them doing that. It's, again, though, your heart breaks for these kids that have already had to miss a portion
Absolutely.
Of their academic career and a portion of their sporting career when they're there in high school. Because let's be honest, the very, very, very vast, what was it, like 1.5% of kids that are going to go play at the college level? And then from there, it's another 1.5% of that actually going to go play at the pro level.
Yeah.
So for a lot of kids, this is it, man. This is the last of the days they're going to tell their grandkids about when it comes to football, when it comes to soccer. So it's tough, man. So you hate for it to go down that way, and you hope that they at least get some portion of a season. Do you have, if it were you, Kaner, was there a certain plan that's on the table that you'd prefer?
Of the scenarios being talked about right now, I think the 8-game, 4-week playoff would be the situation to be best-case scenario for football. Okay. Because I want to play for something. I want to play for a state championship. So if again, this was something tossed around earlier yesterday that's kind of been out the door right now, but the 10-game schedule bowl game, I don't really like that. I think football needs to be happening in the fall if possible, number one, because it needs to be on the 2020 books, and number two, I want these kids that play dual sports to be able to go out and play baseball in the spring. And so I think an 8-game, again, you're missing 2 games, and that sucks. I mean, it's awful. I tweeted out yesterday, you know, when I was in high school, going back and remember, if I knew that no matter what, 2 games that were guaranteed to me were taken away from me my senior year, I feel like my world's over. I mean, that's just kind of how the mindset is when you're in high school. I mean, you pour so much time and effort into something, And then to get a little bit of it taken away, it's something so small in the grand scheme of things, but you feel like your world's ending. It's a little dramatic, but it's true. In order to get eight games in, which will be, you know, primarily conference, you know, region, whatever it is, and then in order to get to a playoff and to be able to play for something, I think would be the best case scenario. So that's what I'm rooting for out of this meeting here coming up later this morning.
That is Eric Kane. I'm Will West. We'll come back with Woodja on the other side. It's the starting lineup, 99.1 The Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves signed a bill Tuesday retiring the last state flag in the United States with a Confederate battle emblem following pressure from the sports world last week. Division III Grinnell College in Iowa is canceling football and other fall sports due to COVID-19. Around the NBA, three New Orleans Pelicans players have tested positive for COVID-19 due to privacy laws. The players' names were not mentioned, but all three have been in self-isolation. The Pelicans are currently 3.5 games back of the 8th-place Grizzlies in the West, entering the NBA's restart at the end of the month. And the nation's top-rated 2021 cornerback and 13th overall player, Tony Grimes of Virginia, has committed to Mack Brown and North Carolina. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education in Tennessee. 6:44, we're going to check out the roads with Pete Michaels Traffic. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will, 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
It is the starting lineup, final segment, hour number one of the starting lineup. Will West, Eric Kane here with you, 656-9900. If you'd like to get on board with us, remember tonight at 7 o'clock, we will have the starting lineup again. Me and Chris Carroll breaking down the top 11 points in the world of soccer. Liverpool are champions. What does that mean? What is it? Is it right for people to put an asterisk beside them? We'll talk about that tonight on the starting 11, and then we'll have the In the Cage, the MMA show with Vince Ferrara coming up at 8 o'clock. So local programming all the way until 9 o'clock tonight on 99.1, The Sports Animal. 656-9900 is your phone number. We'll talk a little bit about this coming up on the other side. Didn't get a chance to get to it because I wanted Jason to be able to weigh in because I want to hear from parents, too, about if your kid right now, if you're a coach right now, with high school sports that it looks like are going to at the very least be delayed, if not maybe pushed way back until spring. I want to know what your thoughts are on this and just give you guys an open forum to kind of vent your frustrations or vent your concerns if you have them, if you think that it's coming back too early. I completely understand that as well. None of us know the answers here, so there's no right answer, I don't think, to any of this. But we want to know how you feel about it, what you think about what's going on high school sports in the state of Tennessee on the starting lineup today. We'll talk a little bit about sports sidekicks because it is Cameron from Ferris Bueller's birthday, the actor who played Cameron. Also, it's Dan Aykroyd, who was the sidekick in movies like Ghostbusters, Spies Like Us. We'll talk a little bit about the best sports sidekicks coming up in the next hour as well. Right now, though, it's time for Woodja on the starting lineup.
Woodja, language of origin, not of this world. Definition, a segment written by the producer of the show, allowing the host to answer the tough questions of the morning. Spelling, W-O-L-D-J-A. Get all that? Powered by New Balance Knoxville in the suburban shopping center.
All right, Wills, of some of the high school football scenarios tossed around right now, which would you rather see happen? An 8-game, 4-week playoff, or an 8-game regular season with a 4-week playoff, or flip-flopping spring and fall sports?
I would probably rather see, for football, I would rather see an 8-game, 4-week playoff. For the others, I would probably rather see everything pushed back. I don't know if that's a possibility, and try to get the entire season in for them. Football is a different animal altogether, especially when you get to the collegiate landscape. Football is a completely different animal altogether. If you look at most athletics departments, it's like there's football and men's basketball, and then there's the that are businesses almost, and then there's the actual athletics department that's everything else. I do think Tennessee's done a good job of integrating those over the last few years, but it was at a time like that at Tennessee as well. If that was my kid that's playing soccer, I don't know if I would rather see this push back to fall or push back to spring, or maybe do that Virginia model where they start things in February or something like that. For football, though, 8-game season, four-game playoff, and I would probably think that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, anything that keeps football in the fall so these athletes can go and play baseball or go run track.
That's the biggest thing, is so you don't have overuse in one sport and they can go play multiple sports, because a lot of football players go play baseball as well, right?
And especially these smaller schools, a lot of them, you know, count on these guys very much just in order to fill out a roster. So,
or guys that play football that have a better chance of getting a baseball scholarship, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. I went to school with some guys that was the case. So, yeah, you'd like to be able to have both.
So sign me up for an 8-game regular season, 4-week playoff as well. Which level of football would you say plays more in 2020, college football or high school football?
College football is going to. I really think that. It does seem like here's the thing. We can create a controlled environment for high school kids in the way that we can for college kids. Like, I don't know if you saw Tuscaloosa University of Alabama students that knew they tested positive for COVID-19, went to parties anyway, and had a bunch of exposed, you know, dozens of other people to COVID, and some of those people are now sick, even though the original person was asymptomatic, but they had tested positive. So it's, parents are going to be there to parent the high school kids. In college, it's just, yeah, but you don't have that, right? And so you're going to see some bad decisions that are made. At the same time, there's so much more money in college football, and also with college football, they are grown adults, technically, and so they can make decisions about as far as incurring risk on their own, whereas in college football, or high school football, it's the grown-ups who need to make the decisions for them.
Yeah, I would say college football as well. Which quarterback would you say has the better 2020, Cam Newton or Teddy Bridgewater?
I will say it's Teddy Bridgewater, because I don't know how healthy Cam is. I also think Teddy's a pretty solid player. I think physically Teddy's not a great player. He's not. But, man, that guy's mind. Like, if you ever saw the stuff he did at Louisville, where he would model his game and just go watch game film for an entire summer on Peyton Manning, and just the way that Peyton controlled everything at the line of scrimmage pre-snap. And so he decided he wanted to do that. And so his final year at Louisville, Teddy Bridgewater would walk up to the line of scrimmage, see what the defense had, call plays. You don't see college kids doing that, right? I mean, and Teddy Bridgewater was able to do that at Louisville. And he did that by watching the sheriff himself, the guy that kind of did that probably better than anybody else in my lifetime. So Teddy Bridgewater is going to have a pretty high floor here as long as he stays healthy. We don't know what the floor is going to be like for Cam Newton.
Yep, safe pick is Teddy Bridgewater, but obviously if healthy, it'd be Cam Newton, but also I'd safely and take Teddy as well. Which former first-round quarterback would you say was the bigger bust, Vince Young or Johnny Manziel?
Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel did nothing. He never did anything. Vince Young was at least a Pro Bowl player. Now, should he have been? No. Did he get there because of some guys being injured and things like that? Yes. Vince Young still was a guy who was a starter for a second, and I honestly think if Vince Young had a better attitude, Vince Young probably would have continued to play football for a while. But Johnny Manziel never did anything, was never going to do anything, was just not fast enough for the type of game he wanted to play. It was not big enough to be able to take the hits you're going to take at the National Football League level. And he had the substance abuse problems as well, but his career never even got going to be derailed, much whereas Vince Young's just got derailed.
It's Vince Young. He won Offensive Rookie of the Year. He was a part of a playoff team, or maybe a couple of playoff teams for Tennessee. He was certainly a bust, but nowhere in the area code of Johnny Manziel. So I guess my answer would be Johnny Manziel being the bigger bust. All right, who would you say was the NBA's greatest sidekick, Scottie Pippen or Kevin McHale?
Oh, it's definitely Scottie Pippen. It's without question Scottie Pippen. Kevin McHale was a great, great player. Kevin McHale is one of the five best power forwards that's ever played the game of basketball. Dennis Johnson was on that team as well. This was, for the most part, I know Rodman got there eventually, but from an offensive standpoint, and Horace Grant was a fine player too. But, I mean, there was a third Hall of Famer that was on that team, a shooter that gave that Celtics team, a shooter that gave space and Danny Ainge. Robert Parrish was a fantastic player that ended up playing for a while, even after he played with the Celtics, and a guy that people just wanted in the locker room. It was, for a stretch there, especially once Ho Grant wasn't there anymore for the Bulls, it was Jordan and Scotty, and we'll figure out the rest of the offense somehow, some way. And then a couple of guys that spaced the floor with their shooting. That was it. That's all that it was with the Bulls. And so without Scottie, Jordan does not have those rings whatsoever.
Scottie Pippen, without a doubt. And a bonus one, I don't know if you saw the report, but they're talking about expanding Whataburger into Tennessee.
Yes.
Whataburger or In-N-Out Burger?
Oh, Whataburger. Well, Country Mile.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, Whataburger's, it's, look, Whataburger's not just better, it's exponentially better than even Shake Shack. So the hierarchy goes, in my opinion, Whataburger is greater than Five Guys, is greater than Shake Shack, is greater than In-N-Out.
That's fair. I would agree with that. I mean, I had In-N-Out for the first time a couple months ago, and I mean, I'm good. Like, it was, I mean, yeah, it was all right.
You don't like Thousand Island dressing on fries?
So yeah. I mean, that's typically not what I, you know, I'm not about that. It's not really my, not my thing. So, I mean, there was a lot of hype. I mean, it was a fine burger, but I'm good. So, yeah, Whataburger. A lot of great memories. A lot of great memories of the Whataburgers down in Florida during the spring break weeks.
There is always the SEC Media Days trek that is hosted by John Wilkerson, where we all go eat Whataburger at least one time, and by one time, I mean twice. That is what you brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. New Balance Knoxville, the suburban shopping center, the perfect fit every time with the fit test that they give you. You'll love the new styles and colorways they have at New Balance Knoxville. It's a made-in-the-USA product, long-lasting product with New Balance Knoxville. 656-9900 is your phone number. If you're a parent of a child that plays football, plays soccer, that could be impacted by what we're seeing with the change in TSSAA sports for the upcoming fall session and semester, we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on what you're seeing with the changes that are going to be made because of COVID-19? Also, the greatest sports sidekicks of all time, the actor who played Cameron on Ferris Bueller, it is his birthday today. It's Dan Aykroyd's birthday today, two of the better movie sidekicks of all time. So we'll talk about the greatest sports sidekicks of all time as well. Starting lineup 99.1, the Sports Animal.